It's in you. You possess the power.
The meaning of life is not simply to exist, to survive, but to move ahead, to go up, to conquer. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Keep my head way above the water. Crying to myself when I yell at the wall. Begging to run, but I needed to crawl. I see the finish line up ahead. Trying to get traction from all of this tread. I am a king.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the podcast that helps you be the leader. I'm Jeremiah Sullivan, and I'm your host. And listen, if you're new, this is a podcast that helps you with a few things. It helps you with leadership, high performance, goal setting and achievement, everything from working on your mindset to your body, your fitness, your health. And what we strive to do here is provide you with strategies and tactics that are going to help you succeed and win. Not just you, but your whole team. Because success, while it is an inside job, getting there is going to require a team. So that's the purpose of this podcast, and I'm excited for today's episode. Today's going to be an awesome one because in the room, I have my lovely wife, Charisse. Charisse, what's up?
Hey, it's good to be back.
And we decided to put together another episode where we came together, and she's going to ask me some questions about leveling up. And the reason we found this to be an important topic is, well, the last one we did together went over, it went so well that we said, hey, we got to do another one. And this time, let's focus a little bit on one of us and let's unpack some of the best practices and lessons that that person has gained over the years that could potentially help somebody else out. And I know all of you guys are really eager to level up in life. And maybe you have leveled up already, but you're hungry for more. Or maybe you leveled up and you're scared as hell to not go back where you came from. Okay, I can relate to both of those. And today's episode is going to be an awesome one if you're just hungry for continuous growth. And so without further ado, let's dive in and get rocking and rolling with a great Q&A and break down some tactics that are going to help you guys succeed. So Charisse, as we dive in, before we go right into questions, I want to ask you, so everybody here, we're down in Fort Lauderdale, Pompano. I'm still having a hard time saying
Pompano.
It. What is it called?
Pompano.
Pompano Beach, Florida. Normally, we're over in Colorado, and this is our last day out here in Florida. We've had a great time, spent 2 weeks here, and really the focus was to start the year off strong with a sprint, so to speak, towards making progress with family, fitness, business, finances, and some fun. So we came down here and we've had a great time so far. So Charisse, I know you're excited to get back home to see your dogs.
Oh, so excited.
How are you doing with the withdrawal symptoms?
Oh man, we're addicted to our dogs, literally physically addicted. Whenever you spend time with your dog, touching them, interacting with them, all types of chemicals get released into your bloodstream. The same chemicals, in fact, that get released when a mother breastfeeds her baby. So you become dependent on those little surges of oxytocin and serotonin and dopamine. And I am a junkie and I am going through hard withdrawals right now.
Yeah. Which dog do you miss the most?
Honestly, probably Kiba, the little yellow baby.
Dang, because you just answered that like it was easy. You're supposed
it was. He's the one that interacts with me the most.
Yeah,
he's the most affectionate of the three. And I love all the dogs equally, but I miss him forcing his big 80-pound butt into my lap while I'm sitting in the recliner.
Yeah, Kiba does this thing. He's almost 100 pounds. And he jumps up on this chair that Shree sits in, and it's only big enough for one person, but he just slinkies his whole body over the top of her lap and becomes a lap dog. I'm sure you dog people out there understand. Yeah, so I know we're excited to get back and you're excited to get back. Just out of curiosity, what's been the highlight for you, you know, down here on this trip? What's been the highlight for you?
Oh, wow. Or some highlights. So one of them would be getting to watch the sunrise on the beach. Being able to get up, walk across the street and go watch the sunrise has been really good. Getting my feet in the sand and, you know, my face to the sun in the mornings, doing some grounding and some meditation out there has really, really been enjoyable.
Hmm. Any other highlights?
Spending a lot of time with you. We've been together 24/7 since you've been here, and I love it. I love it. We spend a lot of time together at home, so it's not that big of a change. But the focus is a little different when you're on quote unquote vacation.
Yeah.
Because this hasn't really been really, we've been working still since we've been down here. But we've gotten to spend a lot of targeted time together, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah. We've talked a lot about that in the last episode, how much time we've spent apart from each other. And it has been nice. And I like that we've kicked off the year starting strong by working on the family. So that has definitely been a highlight for myself. I would say beach runs has definitely been a highlight. I do miss my mountains. But yeah, I'm excited to get back and go train my lungs a little bit more up there in the Rockies. And then also training down here in Sanford MMA. I was fortunate enough to be invited to train with Henry Hooft, who's a world-class kickboxing striking coach. And that has been phenomenal too. And to bring you in and share that part of the journey has been really cool as well.
Getting to watch you do what you're passionate about is always a pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah. I only do a few things, you know, business, fitness, and family.
You do them hard, all of them.
And I do them hard. All right. So let's dive in. Talk to me, give some context to the questions that you're going to ask. I know, so the person that's listening right now, they're eager and excited to hear what questions you're going to drive. But when it comes to the ones that you ask, what prompted you to want to ask these specific questions?
So when I was thinking about these questions, I'm thinking about young Jay and what he would have needed and what he would have wanted to hear when he was trying to figure out where he was going and what he was doing. I want to help that young entrepreneur who is still kind of wading through the murk and kind of finding out who they are and what they stand for and why they do the things they do.
I think that's good. I think that's great. And I can resonate with that obviously a lot, because when I was, I think, by the way, you know, everybody that is listening to this is hungry for growth. And it doesn't matter if you're just starting out or if you've broken through some plateaus or you're changing some chapters or you're preparing to change some chapters. I think that person listening is a student, and you're going to find value from all these questions that get asked. Okay. So, and guys, if you hear some background noise, we apologize. We are staying, you know, outside of our normal residence. So we don't have the studio. We have the Airbnb that we're staying in next to the beach. So we'll just apologize for that up front, but let's dive in. So what's the first one you got, Charisse?
All right. So what I'd like you to answer is, what inspired you to want to succeed? What was your why? Why did you want to change the trajectory of your life?
Okay. This is a good one. Because I think of several like milestones where I decided to change chapters. Is there a specific chapter that you're thinking of that I switched the most, where I switched from, hey, I'm kind of, you know, cause I think everybody goes through this. Everybody goes through like a period where they're like, you know what? I need to change the direction I'm going, and I want to change it dramatically and achieve more. I think that a light goes off in most people's head, I think, at some point in their life, whether they decide to move that direction or not is a different story. But with the questions you're asking, is there a specific time that you're thinking where I turned it really, really on and I said, hey, I want to be successful?
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about when we were in Hawaii and back in 2014, and you really started taking business serious and started getting into your entrepreneurial forays.
Yeah, a lot of listeners don't know that side of me. They haven't really explained how far back entrepreneurship goes for me. And the thing that I'll say is, in 2014, I did. You saw it. I got absolutely fucking obsessed with success. And I had just become an infantry officer. And actually, I think the time period was actually 2013.
Yeah.
When I started, when that light went off. And what had happened is I got rejected. I got turned down and I failed. Basically, we had gotten to Hawaii. I was a brand new infantry officer and I thought I was doing pretty well. And I was like, hey, I finally got myself out of mediocrity. I had switched from an average life, and I took a chance on myself and I became an infantry officer, whereas I was a enlisted soldier before. And that was a big milestone for me, especially since the infantry was like super, super competitive. Only, you know, the Army only took the top 10% out of my officer class and allowed them to go into the infantry. And so, you know, my ego was kind of ahead of me, and I was like, man, I'm a rock star. I'm doing pretty good. The confidence was starting to build, you know, and that was huge, because prior to that chapter, I saw myself as a fucking failure. You know, I, in high school, I, I failed at my first dream of becoming an athlete. And then I was in college after that, and I dropped out of college. So I saw myself as a college dropout. And then finally, after some time in the military, when I decided to commission, I was like, oh, fuck yeah. Hell yeah. I'm doing good. So we were in Hawaii and things are going relatively well. Obviously, there were some personal ups and downs and stuff at the time, but I tried to apply to buy a house. I applied for a home loan. You remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
Yep. So I applied for a home loan. I was like, you know what? This is going to be great. We're going to buy a house. And the bank told me, fuck no. The bank was like, nope, you got your debt to income ratio is too high. You don't make enough money. And there's no way in hell we're going to lend you. I think I was applying for like a $650,000 loan for a house in Hawaii. And I was pissed. And when they told me that rejection, when you tell me I can't do something, I get pretty fucking hard-headed and I just want to go do it.
Yeah, you were pretty spicy.
And so I tried two other banks. There was three total that I tried. And I asked them all, you know, can you guys give me a loan? Can you guys give me a loan? VA home loan? What if I did a, you know, down payment? Everybody just basically told me the same thing. No, no, no. And so I realized I had this like slap in the face that I wasn't good enough in my mind, right? I hadn't built myself up to a level of success where I could purchase my own home. And it was a reality check because I thought I was doing well, but I was really just delusional. And so my confidence got hit. And when they told me no, I said, hey, I need to fix this. And so I realized I had this huge epiphany. And I said, if I can't buy a house right now, that means that my line of thinking that has got to me to this destination right now is flawed. Because if it wasn't flawed, I would have all the right criteria, credit score, debt income ratio, money saved up, and I'd be able to pull the trigger on this property. But it was clear feedback that I was wrong and I was flawed. And I was blind to it because I thought I was doing fine. So anyways, I realized that, man, if I was wrong about how well I was doing in life, then what the hell else am I wrong about? And I said, you know, it's likely that everything I've been taught and know is wrong. And I just don't know it. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So I challenged everything that I believed. I challenged everything that I thought. I challenged all the areas of my life that I thought I was doing well in. I realized that was an indicator that I was not successful. And that pissed me off. And so what I did is I started, remember there's a whole week where I started studying. I went online and I said, you know, obviously I need to make more money. I was like, that's the biggest problem here. And I need to start doing everything differently because what I've been doing in the past has got to this result that I'm in right now. So I changed up everything that I was routinely doing. I changed up my morning routine, my night routine, and then I started studying successful people. And what that allowed me to do is kind of see things differently and just mix up my life. And actually, I teach my clients this from time to time. I teach them to practice doing the opposite of what they normally do. That way they can see the world differently. Like, hey, if you're going to go to work one direction, take a different direction this time. And you actually start to change your patterns of thinking and what you're exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sharing all this because there's tools here for somebody to break through, right? And level up. And then there's a process here that I think can help light the fire in somebody. And this is what it did to me. A hard rejection. And then I started studying successful people. I went to the internet and I typed in, literally, I remember typing this in. I said, youngest billionaires into Google, how they made their money. And I started Googling and I had people pop up. There was like a guy that got into tech, another dude, he was young. He was in his like late 20s, early 30s. He had inherited most of his money. And just like all the people I saw, they didn't really resonate with me. And I was like, man, there's no way I can't connect my path to their path. So I brought it a step down. I said, okay, maybe not billionaires. Let me study millionaires. Started doing millionaires. And I learned that day trading and stock trading was a path that led to some very young, successful people. Now, that caused me to start working on my finances. I started getting into day trading and investing. But more importantly, while I was going through that 7-day period where I was studying people, I learned that everybody that was successful, they all did one thing. They all read voraciously, generally a book a week. And I discovered that and my gut turned and I was like, oh, fuck. Because that was like my kryptonite. I had always blown off books in the past and maybe found shortcuts around the ways to summarize books when I was in college and shit like that, right? And so it was like, bro, if you want to get, you know, more successful, you have to start reading like these guys read.
And you have to consume. Huh? You got to consume that information.
Yeah. And you got to confront this thing that you don't want to do. So this was really one of the early on moments where I started confronting the shit that I don't want to do to get what I wanted. And anyway, so I went, I said, I'm going to become a millionaire in the next year at that time, right?
Very lofty expectations.
Yeah, remember me telling you
all
that?
Oh, I remember, yeah.
And I was convinced.
You were. I believed you. I believed you, too.
I believed me, too. But I would say I learned $1 million worth of lessons that year.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. So I don't want to drag this one out too much, but you know, and I want to come back to your question. My point here is that I went from that to being, you know, that rejection to studying really successful people. And I think that was one of the most important things that helped me level up. I started seeking out who do I want to be like and what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, okay, they read a book a week. And then also here's how they kind of made some of their money. And I went from never reading like a full book in my entire life to reading 42 books in 52 weeks that year. And some of those were audiobooks, but that was still a huge transformation for me.
That still counts. Yeah. Still counts.
And I remembered, and I could teach it too. That was the thing. I would do an audiobook and I could still teach it. And by the way, for two of those months, I went to the National Training Center in Fort Irwin and I was gone 2 months out of the year. So at, I'm doing the math. 50, I guess it's 8 weeks. 8 weeks off of the year, right? So 44 weeks, I read 42 books. Now go back to your question. So the question was,
yeah, what inspired you to want to succeed? What was your why?
Yeah, my why was to conquer the rejection. It was, I failed and I fucking hate failing.
You do.
And whenever I fail, I come up with a solution and I fix it. Now, what I've learned over the years is I got like focused on the financial growth and building wealth and stuff like that. And I had a great journey and I started studying entrepreneurship. I created a few businesses that I thought would be great ideas, but I wasn't super passionate about and do them for a few months and then do something else. But what I learned through all this was what drives me now is different. And I'm way more successful now than I was in 2014, mm-hmm. Way more. Matter of fact, I was thinking about this morning. I was on my run and I was like, what would you die for? Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, I have.
And what are some of your, out of curiosity, what are some things that you would love to die for?
My family. My family is one, but I think that's anybody. For me personally, I'm very passionate about animal rights.
Yeah.
And I can get pretty worked up, and that's something, that's a hill I'll die on.
And I was on my run this morning. And I was picturing, I'm like, literally, dude, honest conversation with yourself. What would you fucking die for? And I just wanted to see what I would come up with. And I think most people, if you're sitting at home, you know, home listening to this, on your way to work, working out, ask yourself that question. What in the fuck would you die for? Honestly, would you really take a bullet for your family? Would you really take a bullet for animal rights to make that better? And I was thinking about this on my run, and I said, I would easily sacrifice my life to make better humans. If I could flip a switch, turn myself off, turn a good world on, I would easily sacrifice myself. And what I mean by that is the work that I'm doing in Conquer Academy is my inspiration for becoming successful. It's making an impact in the world before I die. And fighting for that cause because it's a worthy cause to fight for. So that's what drives me now compared to then.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Any other thoughts on that? I guess that question, it's a really good question. What made you ask that question specifically?
That question was actually suggested to me by a friend of mine. Not in those exact words, but she asked me a question about you, and it got me to thinking, and I was like, I think that'd be something that would be really helpful for people to find out, because it can give them an idea of where they're at.
Yeah. I think if you want to level up, you want to be successful and you want that burning desire, you have to do those two things. One, you have to have some type of hard rejection in your life that pisses you off and makes you want to get to a different situation. for me, that was the financial one. And then two, now I'm constantly trying to find ways to stoke the fire and keep the inspiration, keep the passion. And for me, it comes down to getting clear about what the fuck I will die for. And if I know that, then I can feel the fire inside of me burning. And it gives me just a little bit more energy to push a little bit harder. So that's my answer.
I think that's a really good actionable step for people at home to kind of sit with and try to figure out for themselves, you know, what would they die for? What would they, and not only what would they die for, but what would they live for?
Like truly die for. And yeah, exactly. Live for. What are you living for? It should be the same answer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, great question. Let's keep going.
All right. So when did you first realize that you had the capacity to achieve great things? What stage of your life were you in? And what were the circumstances surrounding that?
This is a tough question because somebody that's listening, I assume that they're thinking right now, they're wondering, can I achieve great things?
Mm-hmm.
And the question that you ask is, when did you realize that you could achieve great things? And that kind of like implies that I believe I can. And I'll say that that believing that I can do something significant and great has been a work in motherfucking progress. It has been a constant battle of trying to convince myself that I can. And so when did I first realize I could do something great? I say that it comes in waves. Some days I feel like I can. Some days I question myself. But the common theme among all days is just having faith and having trust and being curious. Curious meaning I wonder if I can. Maybe who knows if I can do anything great, right? But if I carry the belief, what if I can? Let me find out if I can. It's kind of like that movie, 14 Peaks, with what's the guy's name? I forget. I can't
remember. Nils or Nims Persia?
Nims. Yep, Nims. The dude that climbed 8,000 meter peaks in like, 8 months or something like that?
Truly incredible.
Yeah, which is basically climbing 14 Mount Everest. Phenomenal story. And you know, there's a part in that movie where he shows up to one of these summits and he's getting ready to go up the equivalent of Mount Everest, and the team that's down there that was going to go ahead of him, they all basically quit and they're like, the mountain's not safe, there's no way we can get up there, the weather's too bad, and they were living in a lot of assumptions and fear. And I think that during that movie, Nims, he pulls everybody around the table and he's like, guys, like, cause he's leading them at this point. He's like, I know the mountain is bad, but why don't we just go up there and see? Why don't we just go see if it's as bad as we think it is? Why don't we go see if we can get to the top? He's like, and then the one guy starts arguing with him. He says, no, the mountain's too dangerous. You're going to die. And he's like, and he also says, you can't control the mountain. And Nims is like, I know I can't control the mountain, but why can't I just go up there and see? And he ends up getting those people to get up and go up there with him. And he climbs the mountain and it's nasty and it's a fight. And he has some close calls. He almost dies. But the team gets up there and they make it to the top and they come back down. He can achieve something great. So when you ask that question, at what point did you think you could achieve something great? Well, for me, it's a lot like Nims in that movie. I just want to see if I can. And along the way, I've been surprised that I've broken through levels that I thought were ceilings.
Like, you've made them floorboards.
Exactly. I've stopped living with the assumption that that is a ceiling. And I'm like, well, let me just go out in there and test it. Let me go actually just see. Let me be curious. Let me go run a marathon on a treadmill, which I've done. Let me go do this 100-mile race. Let me try cage fighting. Let me just jump out of active duty and into entrepreneurship full time. Let me just see. And then as I get there, I'm like, damn, how many times have I told you, Charisse? Like, how many times have I been like, holy shit, this is working.
Kind of throw your arms in the air like, man, yeah. It's happening.
Yeah, but it's not, you know, part of me is always surprised that I'm hitting those levels. But I also have, it's happened so much that I know how the game is played. I know that there's doubt and I know that all you have to do is coexist with that doubt. And it's not a matter of, will this work? It's a matter of, I'm going to make this work. And through enough trial and error and learning, you can continue to climb. You just got to be ready for the bludgeoning you're going to take along the way.
Yeah, those blizzards you hit on the way to the top are nasty.
Yeah, and that's where people fuck up. That's where they say, hey, man, this shit ain't for me. And I'm like, that's where I come alive. Like Nim says, in the death zone, I come alive. Great movie, by the way, guys. If you haven't seen that, highly recommend checking that out. The story of true greatness. Good question. Love it.
All right. So do you have anyone or anything that you look up to, or have you been kind of self-driven throughout your journey?
Like my whole life?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of people I've noticed kind of look to outside sources for inspiration. And I know you've been, I think, pretty internally driven with most of your stuff. And I think that's interesting because most people look up to someone, or they have someone that they admire, that it's like, oh, let me be like this person. I want to be like this person.
And so if wondering if I have like idols and people I look up to, why is that question important?
I think it's important for people who feel like they're lost because they don't have somebody they're looking up to. Mm. I think it's interesting that you can succeed based on your own internal engines.
Mm. Okay. So to answer the question, I'll bring it all together. But basically, I do have people that I look up to, but I am very internally, intrinsically motivated. And I'm intrinsically motivated because I've spent a lot of time thinking about what I want to get out of life. You know, when I was in Iraq, you were there, 2006 mm-hmm. and 2007, I spent a lot of time thinking about what I wanted to get out of life.
I mean, when you're deployed, there's a lot of time to think.
Yeah. And most people never really have, never set aside that time, never have the opportunity to have that time. You become enlightened when you go through tough times, plus you have time to think. You really do. And so for me, I realized what I wanted to get out of life, and I realized that I don't want to live a life where I settle. I don't want to live in a fucking world where I call it good enough. Like, that sounds so fucking boring, and not just boring, but I've done it before, and it eats at you, and it eats at you, and it eats at you. And next thing you know, you're like, what in the fuck am I doing with my life? And then people start trying to fill the void with external shit. Whether it's buying stuff, partying, sometimes it's fucking kids. They're like, I don't feel fully alive, so let me just have some kids. I guess that's what I'm supposed to do. Sometimes that's the right answer, but sometimes it's not, because they haven't spent the time to figure out what they want to get out of fucking life. And so for me, I know what that is. And, you know, I actually get this, I've had this said to me several times. I had, you know, people that are in their 60s, tell me that they were totally impressed by what I've been able to do in business and what I've been able to do with coaching, just at the level that I'm at and the depth of the coaching that I do. Like, totally blown away for somebody that is, you know, my age, my back, all this shit. And I tell them, I said, the way I've been able to level up in business, my coaching, all this stuff, is I spend more time even today alone than most people. Mm-hmm. Every morning I go on my run, and I don't bring headphones 99% of the time, and I get clear about what I want. I get clear about my problems. I get clear about all that shit, and I start solving them on that run every single day. And so while most people are waking up, tossing in headphones, listening to music, and going to the gym and being distracted, I'm in deep, deep thought every single day. So what that allows me to do is continuously build on my internal drivers. This is what I'm focused on. This is what I'm after. This is why I'm struggling today. This is why. And it allows me to work through those things to stay driven. Now, with idolizing other people, I find inspiration from people all over the place. I find inspiration from you. I'm like, my wife is one of the most compassionate people I know. I need to be more like her. And so, you know, I look at people on social media. You know, Arnold Schwarzenegger was an idol of mine as a kid. And I loved his story about coming from nothing and becoming something. That was always something that I saw in movies. And, you know, I always saw those stories as a kid. And I was like, man, I wish that could be me one day, from nothing to something, you know? And I always wanted that. Like, Aladdin was my favorite movie as a kid because he was this poor kid.
I said, I love that.
That was my favorite movie. Yeah. Why is that funny to you?
I think that's adorable. Yeah. I loved Aladdin. It was a great movie.
Yeah. Well, you know, he's a poor kid and he like wanted to be great and he wanted to be with the girl and he wanted all these things. And I could just really resonate with that. And I'm like, and he just deep down didn't feel like he was good enough. And my point is that I always had that in me as a kid, and it hurt really, really bad wanting to be more and not knowing if I could do it. And so whenever I find stories like that, like Arnold Schwarzenegger or anybody that just goes from nothing to something, I'm like, man, that's really cool. And then what I tell myself is if they can do it, I can do it. And I just try to convince myself that there's no secret, that we are one and the same. So I do find inspiration from people, but the way that I do it is not, I want to be like them. I want their life. I idolize them like that. I don't idolize them like that. I look at it kind of like mixed martial arts.
Mm-hmm.
That person knows karate. That person knows jujitsu. That person knows boxing. And I'm like looking at him like, oh man, I want to be able to punch like that. Oh, I want to be able to do jiu-jitsu like that. And then I'm
so
like
taking a little bit away from every different
person.
Yeah,
exactly. And then I'm like, okay, let me become a little bit more. And with that in mind, I have a vision of myself and who I want to become. And I'm pulling from these different people to get closer and closer to that best version of me. So that's my answer for it. And I think that the takeaways, what do you see as the takeaways for somebody that wants to be more driven from that?
To take a little bit of inspiration from all over the place. You don't have to be limited to somebody that's in your field, somebody that's like you. And you shouldn't feel alone if you don't have a bunch of idols and a bunch of people that you look up to. That's not what it's about. It's about finding what you want and finding what you're about.
Yeah, and I would add in one more thing is that sometimes when people don't accept idols or have idols or people they admire, it's because they have an ego problem.
Mm.
And they chalk off people that are more successful because they don't feel like they can be successful. And they say, oh, I just won't have idols, because they don't really truly believe in themselves. So I think it's important, one, that you just start looking for people that you find and admire and be like, oh, I want to try to do something like they're doing. I think, because then if you can see it, if you admire that in them, you will admire it in yourself. Okay. And then the other part of this is where I think people get hung up having idols is they start comparing who they are to that person. And you can't compare yourself to them, because you're two different types of animals. And if you compare, you're going to feel like shit about yourself.
Yeah. Comparison is the thief of joy.
It is. But so I always tell my clients is you can compete, but don't compare. So if I got a guy, if I'm just starting out for my fitness journey, and then I like this guy on social media who runs like a marathon a day, and I'm seeing him and I'm like, man, that guy's inspirational. Well, I'm going to continue to watch him and idolize him, but I'm not going to say, compare myself where I'm at to him and say, oh, I'll never be there. I'll never be good enough, blah, blah, blah. That's killing me, but I will compete with him. Hey, let me see if I can do this faster than he did it. Hey, let me see if I can build, you know what I mean? And do a little mm-hmm. bit more, a little bit better. So I look at, you know, idols like that as they're just a different type of animal. You're a fucking shark or a lion, and they're a lion or a shark. They're a different type of animal. And you don't want to be comparing yourself as a shark. You don't want to compare a shark to a lion. You're just two different animals. So, you know, maybe you can pick up how that lion's eating and adopt it as a shark and be like, hey, I'm going to use that skill set, right?
Yeah.
So that's my stance on it. I think that the key there to stay internally driven is to be reflecting on life, know what you're living for, know what you want out of it, and then constantly challenge yourself and pull from the idols around you.
So one of the things that I find really, really interesting about you is your level of organization. You are on top of it. And for me, who is not,
yeah,
it's really interesting to watch, because you have all these plates spinning and you find a way to make them all go in sync without losing anything. You know, have you always been like this? And if not, when did organization become a priority for you?
That's a good question. This one's important for the listener. Why? Because we're hoping to make somebody more organized, or you think that'll help them out in their path to leveling up?
Yeah, definitely.
So I'll say I've thought about this deeply, and I have generally always been pretty organized. I'm not naturally like that, though. It's taken work. Okay. So I've always done it, but it hasn't come naturally, is my point. Like, I think I'm naturally a little bit sloppy.
Yeah. I mean, I have that in common with you. You've seen my closet.
Yeah. So I can get so focused on the what I think is the most important thing that I can miss steps along the way just to get to the result. Yeah. So that's a weakness of mine. But I have always paid attention to being organized since I was a kid. And I think the reason why I thought about this deeply is because, you know, my house, I had loving parents. We had a busy household. We were low income. It was stressful. And I think being organized gave me a sense of control in a stressful household. You know, my room was always, and you know, my mom, definitely, you call her Major Steel in this example. She she always beat in our head that it doesn't matter what you have, you take care of it. You know, you take care of, if you, even though we don't have much, you take care of those things. You know, one of the things that she carried over from that lesson was that I never, and I still don't today, put or place anything on my car or anybody else's. It was just taught to me at a young age of like, take care of the things you have. And I had like a 1994, it was like a 15-year-old car or 10-year-old car when I bought my first car. It was a 1994 Celica, and it was like I had hit a deer in it, had rust, we replaced the light and sanded it down. So there was like paint and then the primer on there. The car was not in really good shape, but I still refused to not take care of it and put shit on top of it. So my point here is like, yeah, I've always worked on it because it gives me a sense of control. And over the years, I've learned that when I stay more organized, I follow through on my priorities more. Like if my room and office and everything is in order, I do a better job in the gym. It like carries over. So it's just a constant battle.
Mm-hmm.
But I have little things that I focus on in order to get my life straight through organization. So it's like, hey, get organized, get your office clean, bathroom, make sure all that shit's straight, your car. And if you do that, guess what? The business is going to start getting tightened up. Your fitness is going to start getting tightened up.
Your stress level goes down too.
Stress level goes down. Yeah. And I had a guy on my podcast, Michael Ortiz, who ran 100 milers. And I asked him for a piece of advice for tackling a big goal. Okay. He ran 100 miles every week for 100 weeks. Okay. This guy knows a thing or two about fucking success and winning and shit.
Yeah. I would think so.
And I said, what's your advice to somebody that's tackling a big goal? You know what he said?
What'd he say?
He said, make sure your affairs are in order every single time before you step out to tackle it. Basically, he was saying, he elaborated. He's like, I wouldn't go out on a race without making sure my apartment was clean and straight before I took off. And that was important to him because he said it helped him clear his mind. It helped him reduce his stress. And it helped him be all in on the goal that he was tackling. So I think it's done that for me over the years. And not to say you can't be successful if you're not organized, but it's something that I believe you start to tighten up your whole life when you start focusing on it.
Mm-hmm. If you do something right in one area of your life, it usually carries over into other areas of your life too.
Yeah. And when I was younger and like in high school, I used to do, you know, I used to write workout programs for people at 14, 15 years old. And I used to literally track all of my workouts in a notebook. And I used to write them down, reps and sets in pencil and pen on a piece of paper every single day. And I would take my journal in there. I'd be the only motherfucker in the gym with a pen and paper writing down my shit. And I used to track everything. And then at the very bottom, I would give it a grade. I would say, hey, bro, this is a B workout, A workout. And it's funny. I still do the same shit today.
You do. I was going to say, you still do that.
Yeah. It's a way for me to like track the data and then get an unbiased look at what's going on in my life. And so I can hold myself accountable. You know, like if I flip through my workout log, now it's on Excel, and I taught it to Conquer Academy the other day, showed them what it looked like. But if I flip through it, I can see, oh dude, you've had like 3 C days in a row. What the fuck is going on? And I can work to tighten those things up. I guess it shows me cutting corners or it shows me performing well.
Shows you where the water's leaking.
Yeah, exactly.
So my next question is, what is one thing you would like to tell little Jay to collapse the timeline to your trajectory?
It's weird when you say like, you bring up your younger self.
Mm-hmm.
Does that not like kind of hit you in the feelings right out the gate.
Man, yeah, yeah.
Like, if I was like, hey, if you could talk to Little Cherise.
Oh, man, me and her would... We would have some heart to hearts.
Man, so the thing that you want to... I'm talking to younger Jeremiah, and he's at the point where he wants to start succeeding, and he wants to win, and he's ambitious, and he wants advice on how to get there as quick as possible. What I would tell him is, I would say, you want to collapse the timeline, you need to believe.
Mm.
Believe in yourself.
Okay.
Believe that you can accomplish it. Simply believe. Because I'd look him in the face and I would tell him this: you will get exactly what you believe, and nothing short of it. Think about that. Think about all the things that you believe, especially at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe thoughts like, I'm a mess, I don't deserve anybody, I'll never have this, I'll never have that.
And then you wonder why things don't work out for you.
Exactly. So getting in your own way is always the limitation. So if you can simply change your assumption, and you can simply believe in what you can accomplish, not just logically, but fucking emotionally, then you'll get it. You'll get it 10 times faster than you think you can. So I would say believe.
Okay. I think Little Jay would appreciate that information.
Yeah, man. He would probably look me in the face and be like, nah, man, there's got to be something else other than that.
There's a trick to it.
Yeah. Like, nah. And I'm like, bro, no, I'm telling you. Focus on feeling belief.
You get what you're thinking about, what you're focused on.
Yeah. I mean, there's been periods in my life, like whatever, high school and even college, where I believed like that I was dumb. And that caused me to behave like I was not dumb, or to take, instead of studying my ass off for a test, stressing about the test because I was worried about my, you know, I was thinking about my insecurity. And now I read some pretty fucking complex books. You know what I mean? I'm, mm-hmm. I can hold a conversation with some high level people,
mm-hmm.
and intelligent people. So I would just say that shift came from believing. You got to believe. And what I would challenge everybody here to do that's listening is, if you do believe in yourself to some degree, stop playing it safe. Believe that you can do more.
All right. And our last question here, what has held you back from being your best self in the past?
Fuck, so many things.
And how did you change those things?
I would say not confront, the answer that comes to mind is not confronting the real issue. Not tackling the problems that you know you need to tackle. Not confronting your resistance. I think back, that's the theme. I think back to times where maybe I was partying too much, and that was stopping me from being my best self.
Okay.
So what was holding me back was not getting to the core of what was actually going on. Why am I distracting myself with weekends out and all this shit? Why am I nervous to be alone in a room by myself?
So sitting with yourself and asking those hard questions.
Yeah. And the reality was that I was avoiding shit. Conversations, thoughts, all that shit. So that's continued. And obviously, it's evolved. Today, what that looks like, what stops me from being the best version of myself, I think that it's the same. Yeah, it's the same answer. It's sometimes the best version of me is a guy that isn't afraid to reach out and ask for more help. And I get my own way with that. I'm like, nope. My ego gets in the way. I'm not going to reach out and ask for help. I can do this on my own. Blah, 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 blah. Poor mentality comes in. And I'm not, why am I afraid to ask for help? Am I afraid of rejection?
Mm.
Am I afraid, is it, you know, blast in my ego? Am I afraid that the person that I'm going to ask is going to think that I'm not perfect? You know, so I think that confronting the real issue is the thing that's held me back the most. And so I'm always, now my life is built around that. It's built around, what am I resisting? Where is my resistance today?
Yeah, you swim upstream.
Every fucking day. every day, 7 days a week, 365 days in the year, every fucking day. And it's, you know, I don't know. That's, it works for me, produces the results that I want to get. Now, things are still challenging from time to time, but it's a clear path. For me, it's like the world is already complicated enough to get through it and succeed. There's no roadmap for everybody's journey. You still have to make decisions along the way and figure out, okay, where do I turn here, right? And for me, it simplifies the whole decision-making process. If I know what the hardest path is, where my resistance is, it's like, okay, that's easy. I need to go this way. All right. Yeah. And I know that I'm going to get growth going that direction. So what'd you think? What'd you think of the one, what we dove into?
I think that you have provided a lot of valuable information for people. Not just information, but actionable steps, you know, like sitting with yourself and really getting to the bottom of your, of why you do something, why you're inspired, and, you know, what's holding you back.
What was your biggest, like, if you look back on the questions you asked and my answers and shit, what was the thing that hit you the most or stood out the most to you? Anything come to mind?
Yeah, I think that for me, it was your organization and how it bleeds into everything else. And if you got to take care of everything before you go out and conquer those big missions.
Yeah, appreciate the questions.
Yeah, it's been a blast.
Anything else before we should close out? Anything else you want to touch on?
We're halfway through January. What are you doing right now?
Like, what am I focused on? What am I doing?
Yeah. We're almost into February, you know. How are you doing with your goals? Did you set any resolutions?
Ooh.
Guess we have another question.
This is a whole another topic, because I could talk about resolutions and goals, and I could probably talk about that for an hour. But basically, what I'll say is, there's a lot of people online, social media, that are sticking their nose up at goals and resolutions. And I used to be one of those people. Mm-hmm. And I think that no matter where you're at in life, if the resolution makes sense for you, do it. If the goals make sense for you, do it. But don't beat yourself up, because don't do what your favorite influencer is telling you what to do. If they're saying, fuck goals, I don't make goals, I make plans. Like, get fucked, okay?
You make a plan to achieve your goal.
Like, shut the fuck up. I don't make resolutions, I just have a to-do list or whatever. Like, get the fuck out of here. So, what I'll say is, if a resolution makes sense for you, do it. Goals, I think everybody should have them, because what goals are is a growth plan. You should always have goals. When you get to a certain level, those kind of conversations are a little bit less significant, because you always are updating your goals along the way. So a new year doesn't really mean as much as it does to somebody who's never set goals before, right?
Yeah.
So I would just say that. And a resolution this year, I don't have any big resolutions. I had my most recent one, my recent one that I've continued to try to uphold has been calling my mom every Sunday.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, which I started 2 years ago, and we haven't missed a single Sunday since 2 years. Before that, I've talked to her pretty infrequently. And I told her I was going to work on that, and I made a resolution, and we have not missed, no matter how much traveling I've done. And
nope, not even one. And tomorrow we're going to be traveling, and you're still going to make time to call Miss Linda.
Yeah. But the theme for me this year is clockwork. It's making my routine even more dialed in, my rituals more dialed in, my business growth more dialed in. I've got a really good idea of what my gaps are, and I'm closing those gaps with clockwork, like making everything on point. That's the focus all year. It's a hard one to measure as far as tracking it goes, but that's the theme for me. It's clockwork all year. For my business, the theme is excellence. We know what we did last year. We know what we want to accomplish this year. And we know if we strive to hit excellence in all that we do, then we're going to get the results that we're after. So without breaking down my big four goals and laying them all out there and all that shit, I think that'd be too long. My focus is that it's making, you know, clockwork and excellence for the year.
Okay.
And what's next for me would be, you know, we got a potential fight lined up. I'm going to get back to Colorado. I'm going to start training, and then we're going to start looking for a fight. And I'm going to do that while managing the other areas of life that are important to me. So be on the lookout for that.
Outstanding.
Cool. All right, ladies, gentlemen, if you're listening to this on on Apple, or it's not iTunes, is it? It's Apple. It's
I think it's iTunes.
What the hell is it?
Yeah, iTunes.
If you're on an iPhone listening to this, there we go. Go on and leave a review on the podcast. I'd like to read it, see what you guys have to say. And I say that because I don't think Spotify, I don't think you can leave a review. But either way, everybody, I hope you found value in today's episode. Take something from today and just put it into action. Utilize one fucking thing, just one. I know it can help you, even if you see yourself as a successful person already. There's ways that you can do better. And that's me talking to you as a coach and friend. Okay? So, appreciate you. Leave a review if you'd be so kind. And if you found value, laugh, learned, grew, share it with a friend. Until next time, be the leader.
I need some motivation. Motivation. Every day I try a little harder, but my dedication. Keep my head way, way above the water. Proud of myself when I yell at the wall. Begging to run, but I needed to crawl. I see the finish line up ahead, trying to get traction from all of this tread. I am a king, I am a queen. I am more than the people can see. I am strong when I'm needing to be. Vulnerability's nothing to me. You can try, but I'm unshakable. My successes is never debatable. I'm chameleon, I'm so interchangeable. Here's to you and all that you are capable. You gotta go hard, better get it. You gotta